Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If you don't mind, can we get started? Are there any announcements today? Yes.
Okay. For those who get the newsletter in your emails, I sent you an email, and it's a link to each May, the district disaster auction booklet we get. Okay. I was able to create that as an ebook. So if you click on the link that's in your email, you can look at the ebook. It's just like looking through a magazine. You just click on the arrows on the right and left to go backward and forward. But it's just like looking at the magazine, and it's kind of neat. So if you have any questions, give me a call. You know.
Thank you.
Yes, Sister Kim.
Cemetery meeting right after church. It won't be long.
Yes, Mr. Bob.
Just checking to see who is going to be interested in coming to Love Feast. I know it's a month away, but I'm just trying to get a count as to know how much of the ingredients that we need. So if any of you have an idea, you might be here. It's on April the 13th at 6 o'clock here at the church. So I'd like to just try to get a count of the ladies and the men that are interested in coming. Let me try the ladies first. Raise your hands, please.
There's two things I've learned from reading the Bible after all these years. And one, as all the promises that God has ever made, not one promise has ever failed. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it reminds me as a challenge that prayer is not a waste of time. Whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, prayer is not a waste of time. It should be more important than what trash is on TV today. But at this time, Mr. Jerry, would you start us off?
I have two announcements. I didn't get on there. I still have, I'm losing my voice. Gene, thank you. I still have pie forms back there. If anybody wants any pies, we're going to take orders up till April the 7th. They're on the back bench back there. That's for the fire company auxiliary. So they're back there. They're for Easter. And also, the birthday treats will be here next Sunday. Just supposed to tell you that. Birthday treats will be here next Sunday. So, thank you, Brad.
Has that happened over 50?
It's like before that for me. And it's worse. Yeah.
Okay, Brother Jerry. Thank you. Praise the Lord for good music. Our call to worship. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. I thirst for you. My soul belongs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Hallelujah. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for this day, for another privilege to be in your house, to be allowed, Lord God, to hear your spoken word, to challenge us and to remind us, Lord, that life is real and reality is real and that you are a real God. And Father, I just ask that your spirit would move in this place, that you are higher lifted up and you are glorified, Lord, because you alone are worthy. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done in our lives. And in your name we praise you, Father. Amen. If you would turn in your hymnals to 172. It's a good title there, Is Thy Heart Right with God? It's not just a once in a while thing, it's all the time. We'll skip to and get into call to Christian giving before we're going to prayers. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, for the privilege to give to your work, to your kingdom, that it would grow, Lord God, for your work and for your good pleasure, that as we give unto you, Lord God, just a portion of what you've given unto us. And we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wrote these down before church because these people are important. Ralph and Debbie, Bob and Linda, our son, our nation, and the congregation. Are there any prayer requests? Yes, Danny.
Kathy and myself, and pray for Justin as he moves to North Carolina on Friday.
Oh, no. I better get plenty of hugs today. Continue, Cody and Travis and the Baker family, and Ricky had a joy of, he has a granddaughter who was born this week, and a little girl, great-granddaughter, I'm sorry, great-granddaughter.
Yes, sister.
My son-in-law is having some health problems.
Yes.
Just a quick update. I got an email from Pastor Larry Dentler this week, and he asked for, well, first off, he said, tell my brothers and sisters at Monocacy I miss them and I love them. And then he asked for prayers for his wife, Deb. She has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she will have to have a mastectomy. And he's doing well from his issues with his heart. And through all this, they are downsizing and going to move into a smaller home. So that's a lot on their plate. So let's keep them in prayer. I don't have an address for him yet. So, but anyway, maybe when we find out, we can do a card chat or something with him. Just a little update of, and I thank you for remembering Cody. Cody's some better, but not only pray for Cody, pray for Carrie and Toby and Maddie and Colton, because it has been a struggle for all of them. Cody, like I say, he's some better, but the voices are still there. I mean, every day in their life is a new awakening. This past week, it's been that he has special powers. He can do this and he can do that. So, and he's on his last, he had his last up dose of his medicine. It cannot go any higher. So please pray for this medicine to work or for God to do a miracle. I have a few people on my prayer list also, but we all know we have a long list of cancer. But I was at McDonald's with Ralph on Friday, and the manager there, she's a sweet lady, and she was wearing a bobbin and a mask, and I hadn't been there for a while, and I asked one of them, is she sick? And they said, oh, she's on chemo. She's with breast cancer. And bless her heart, her eyes were so heavy, dark circles, and she just looked wore out. And please pray, I don't know her last name, but the Lord knows, just pray for Marissa at McDonald's, because she has to work, and well, we can relate, so you guys can relate.
Yes, sister.
Yeah, Kelly texted me, there's no children in Sunday school this morning because she has tested positive for COVID.
That's right.
Continue to keep my wife in our prayers and so forth, because I try to help her as much as I can, but we need to depend on the good Lord to take good care of her. Everyone else is in here that's having medical issues or problems and sickness. I want to pray for them as well. And peace for over in the Israel area, as well as peace for the whole country.
That's right.
Brian, I want to keep Doss Plain again in prayers. She lives right here across from the fire pond. They brought her home under hospice care yesterday. She has cancer, so that family can support the use of prayers right now.
Yes, sir.
I forgot to say, my neighbor, he fell off a ladder.
It shouldn't take a tragedy for families to get together. And my aunt, she died this past week. She was 94. She lived a good life. And her funeral's Wednesday. And her son got ejected off a tractor last Sunday. He's been in shock trauma all week. They've had the plate and pin his ribs. Had to do surgery on his jaw. So, we all got our problems. But it's nothing that hasn't taken God by surprise, and there's nothing God can't handle. We can't let it drag our faith down till we lose sight of who the healer is anymore.
I just have a list of unspoken.
We have a lot to pray for, but we got to believe God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So let's take a few moments to pray. God already knows about them, but we just need to believe within ourselves that God is able. We thank you, Holy Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, for the privilege to have the families that you've given us, for the dear friends that are in our lives even for a season, Lord. Father, the requests are many and serious. We lift them up to you, God, because you are able to comfort those that mourn, to bring peace in troubled lands and in the homes. For all those, Lord, who need your divine healing and a special touch from you. For those, Father, who need a financial miracle in the midst of these tragedies, Lord. For those who've lost homes, for those who've lost family members this week, Father, that you would just comfort them and be with them. And Father, I just ask for a mighty move of spirit in each prayer request, that you would touch those bodies. Father, you are in dire need of a healing, but most of all, Lord, in dire need of salvation. That you would just pour your spirit out upon all flesh, that you would meet the needs, Lord God, because you are able. And you are worthy, Lord God, as you remind us, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Father, I just ask that you would touch our son today, that you would continue the work in his body, that you would save him most of all, Lord God. And though his time of recovery will be long, I ask that you would meet the financial need in all these families who are struggling with health issues. Father, I just thank you for the privilege to be here and to stand before your people and to share these prayer requests with you, Lord, our loving, sovereign God. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that I know, Lord, that by faith you will meet each need, each request, Lord God, for all those of healing and salvation. And Lord, that our country needs a revival, starting in our president, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would convict their hearts, open their eyes, Lord God, as you did for Saul, Lord God, to show him, Lord, the right way is through Jesus. Father, our nation needs peace. Foreign countries need peace. Those who have lost their families and friends to fires and floods, Lord, that you would just move in the midst. Lord, the you would just have your way in their lives, tear down the walls and the barriers. And Lord, that you would just be glorified in the midst of all this, that from the midst of tragedy, Lord, you can raise up people, Lord, for your glory and for your kingdom. And Father, for the peace that we need in our homes, Lord, and as individuals, that you would just move in a gentle way, Lord God, and help those who are struggling with cancer, Lord. that you would bring it to come to pass, Lord, according to your word, according to your promise. And Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that as we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time we turn to page 131. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The scripture today comes from Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from clay was marred in his hand. So the potter formed into it another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Cannot I do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." At this time, Brother Sam will share to us the word of the Lord.
It's a nice good Sunday morning, so we're going to take a little trip. Color Fest is not for a couple months yet, but we'll go to a craftsman's house and see what we can find. First, let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your word. Thank you for the Bible, how it warns us. It warms us. And our hearts be encouraged today as we spend time in your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're in Jeremiah 18. A little background about each book of the Bible, when you look at the Bible, you should be aware of what's happening in this context. The book of Jeremiah was written after the fall of the northern kingdom. Remember, we had King Saul 40 years, King David 40 years, we had Solomon 40 years, then Solomon's stupid son split the kingdom, and the north, every king was bad until God's wrath came upon them. And in 722, the northern kingdom went into captivity because of sin. And the southern, now we're talking about north of Jerusalem, basically. Then south of Jerusalem would be the southern kingdom. When the northern kingdom went into judgment, the southern kingdom became more wicked. All my 12 years in school, whenever I saw a whipping or a spanking, none of us said, "Oh, I liked one of those." Not at all. So the southern kingdom, when Jeremiah wrote, was worse than the northern kingdom that went into judgment. And so in 606 BC, the southern kingdom went into captivity called the Babylonian captivity. And I'm wondering, it's possible that some of the people that lived in this chapter, and we're going to see their response later on, they said, "No way, Jose, we're not following the Lord." They may have gone into Babylonian captivity. We saw that this morning in our Sunday school. Judgment is coming. Grace is available. The invitation is available. But if you don't take that, judgment is coming. So that's the background. They saw one part of the country destroyed. Now they're in between. So the imperative is in verses 1 and 2. Word came to Jeremiah saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house. There I will cause you to hear my words." Now the word "hear," we use that in several ways. You say to your children, "Did you hear what I said?" That's not a hearing test. Now, with these hearing aids, I'm part of Johns Hopkins University Achieve Program. And every once in a while, I go to Hagerstown. And among the things they do, we do a lot of things. It's part of the cognitive study. They give me three words. Then they ask me 20 questions and say, "What were those three words?" So, but one of the things they do every time, and have you done that? You go into that soundproof booth, and they start testing your hearing ability. And they go through the first series. And she says, "Now I'm going to turn on background noise." I'm a goner. Forget it. Forget it. So hear is more than just hear. When you say, "Do you hear? Do you understand what I'm saying?" Well, yeah, you spoke English. No, we're talking about, do you hear with your heart to obey what the Lord's going to say? So in verse 3, "I went down to the house, and behold," wow, look, "and he wrought the work on the wheels." We're going to come back to the, who is the he? Who is the work? Who are the wheels? Well, let's go further on just a little bit. He said, "Vessels that he made of clay was marred at the hand of the potter. So made again another vessel that seemed good unto him. He'll behold a work on the making this pottery." One of the things we enjoy, in fact, our holiday season begins Saturday before Thanksgiving with the National Christian Choir Concert in Frederick. It ends with the farm show in Pennsylvania, in Harrisburg Farm Show, the first full week of January. And there's a potter, and he's got the wheel, and he's doing all these magic things on his wheel. How's he doing it? And you can see other things that are there, so you're observing what's going on. But verse 4, "Vessel he made with clay was marred." That has the idea it was damaged. Things didn't turn out like that. When I was in Frederick High School, one of the years we had arts and craft class. One class we have English, history, that, arts and craft. So for a couple of months, and we broke it up in various classes, we were in woodworking. And so learned how to run a jigsaw on plywood. So Jerry would appreciate this. I made something look like a middle C. Today my daughter has it on her piano. So we made little things there. Then we had sheet metal, and we went in there and made things for a while. And then they had one called ceramics and pottery. So there was so many of us in the class, and they gave us a lump of clay and said, make something. Then we what to make. I live on a farm at that time. We had four horses. So I decided to take my clay, and I molded what looked something like a horse. Evolution would probably say that was forerunner of a horse, but it had four legs and a head and a tail. And so I worked on it that day. And then when I came back in the next day, one of my legs fell off. Horse fell over. So I put the leg back on, and I work at it. And next day I come in, another leg fell off. So I was working on it again. Third day, third leg fell off. In baseball, three strikes and you're out. So I went to work on my horse. I made it into a frog. Set the frog on the back hind legs, front legs up, horse head to a frog head. It looked more like a frog than it did a horse. Sprayed green paint into the kiln, and on we go. Took it home to my mother. I don't know what happened to it. I assume it croaked. I don't know. But in school, we're under pressure. I had to do something to pass the course. And my main goal was, I don't care what I make, just get out of here. I thought, well, maybe I was a little too rushed. I live on a farm where the backfield comes into the corral. There's clay. Clay at Ferdinand High School. Clay in the farm. I got the best clay Frederick County could produce. So I took my shovel, a 5-gallon bucket, and went out, and I dug up a shovel full of clay, brought it back to the house. It wasn't the same. It just wouldn't work. Well, it needed a little moisture. So I just put some water in the bucket. After 15 minutes, I had mud over my hands, mud on my clothes, a clump of mud in the bucket, mud on the porch. So I took all of it, threw it away back there. My point is that the clay that I had was not like the clay in school. So we're going to be talking later on about the kind of clay we have. Verses 5 and 6, then God says, O house of Israel, can't I do with you as a potter does? Isn't it interesting how stubborn people can be? They're going to have their way, my way, or the highway. And the highway is already covered, too full. It says, as clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So today, we want to look at God, clay, and us. And I think Dan has some scriptures about verse 3, he, God, is the potter.
Isaiah 64:8. O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay. You are our potter, and we are the work of your hand. Isaiah 45:9. Woe to the one who strives with his maker. Shall clay say to him that fashioned it, what have you made for your works? Have you no hands? Romans 9:20-21. Shall the same form say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and unto another dishonor.
I call that God's sovereignty. Now, the trouble with Frederick High School was not the clay. It was me. And as I thought about it, if I had time in the right kind of clay, I probably could do a better job than a frog. But God is great. Look at the heavens. My wife's going to be teaching ladies this coming week at our retreat about God's revelations, the natural revelations we see in the heavens. I mentioned last week a man in our church had a PhD degree from Arizona State University in nuclear energy. Unsaved. Atheist. The more he studied the atom in his unsaved state, the more he began to realize the atom has to have a creator. What he saw in the atom just couldn't explain the universe as it is today. Got a Bible, read Genesis, found the answer, found Jesus, and the things cleared up for him. So God can do all these creatings all about us. God has a right to do that. Does the potter have a right to make the clay? So the point is, God is sovereign over all of us. How he works things together. I'm keeping a little better accurate record of how God answers prayer. I don't know about you, maybe it's just me. I'm still amazed at how God answers my prayer. He could say, shut up and I'll do it myself. But God answers so many prayers. I say this, as long as I have my present computer, I will be a praying man. Because that thing drives me crazy every couple of days. It does something. How do you undo that? What button did I push? So God is sovereign in our lives, working in all of us. So the problem is not there. Now, also have God's skill. Psalm 139, 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. The older I get, the more I'm amazed at the human body. If any of us stop to think, how many times has your heart beat since the first one in your mother's womb? I imagine the zeros would go a long way. How many breaths? How many muscles? Well, as I get older, I'm finding out how many muscles I had, like you. It hurts. I didn't know I had a muscle there. And just recently, to get ready for my annual cardiology doctor's visit, I had blood work. I went in there. Jack and I were going to go to Frederick. We got to do more than one thing. You can't afford to drive just there. So by the time I got home, already on an email of blood results. They took this little blood on my arm, and there were 49 things they discovered in my blood. Most of them, I can't pronounce it. I don't know why I need it. But out of 49, only one caution flag right there. So I guess I'm in pretty good health for the cardiologist. And how did all that happen? What's the Bible say? The life of the flesh is in the blood. And only until recent has our science figured that out. God made us with blood. And we're marvelous. He's creating us. So he wants to do all these things. Now, it says, he wrought a work on the wheels. I'm going to say circumstances are the wheels. Do you feel like your life is going faster and faster? Do you feel like you just turn around all the time? I don't know. I'm not willing to admit it just yet. But are things speeding up or am I slowing down? Because I declare I can't keep up with what's going on. One of the things that came to me, my daughter, you've met her, she was here with my son-in-law. When she comes to visit, she knows I take a morning walk. She wants to walk with me. And I don't know what's going on with her, but she's walking faster than she used to walk. Or see which way you're going with that one. Maybe I'm walking slower. But we're on the wheels, and it's going round and round and round. Do you ever think, what is God doing? Frequently, I even write down what's going on, because I'm not sure what God's doing. Isaiah 40:8-10. I refine you, but not with silver. I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Do you feel like you're in a furnace sometimes? No, people complain. Your problems come one by one. Cheer up. They're soon going to be coming double and triple. And you're not ready for all these things. Now, on the other hand, we know God's able and God sees us through. But we have circumstances that are coming around with our country. What's going on? And our churches, what's going on? Our family, what's going on? And I really, when I get sick, I generally don't know what it is. Thankfully, thus far, I've never had a doctor when I go to visit him say, huh, I never saw that. So at least I feel somewhat better. They have a name for what I have. And so we have these circumstances. God allows things. I'm convinced in my life thus far, God continually puts me in situations I can't get out of. You have to remember, I grew up on a farm. Back in those days on the farm, we were self-sufficient. If something broke, you fixed it. If you needed something else, you got it. So we were pretty well independent farmers. And I'm the kind of guy, I want to do it myself. But I don't know. Am I getting dumber? Or is the world getting more complicated? Because things are happening, I don't have the foggiest idea what to do. Thankfully, we have good people in the area. If it's mechanical, I can call Ray at the industry. Hey, Ray, how do you do that? So. And after he calls me a dummy a couple of times, we get it done. But God has all these skills. So then we have these circumstances, and then we have this reconstruction. The vessel was marred. We made another vessel. You probably heard of a guy named Bill Gaither. He's got a song called, He's Still Working on Me. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the moon, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Don't judge him yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'm better just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hands. In the mirror of his word, reflections I see makes me wonder why he never gave up on me. But he loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I am the clay. So God is still working on us. So next time somebody criticizes you, you can say, God's not finished yet. But be careful. God might say, well, if I had better clay, just be careful how you go with that. So we call that reconstruction. Remember Adam and Eve? When they fell, they solved their problem. Remember? The Garden of Eden? When they were saw their naked, what did they do? They made fig leaves. We got this. Fig leaves. And you're saying, fig leaves. Even now when I go to Ocean City, I think that girl has less on than Eve had. So what did God do? He slew an animal and he made a clothing. None of us on our own can stand before God. We need the righteousness of Christ. We need to be clothed with him. Going back to what was in Sunday school, there's coming in the world when God's going to say, it is done. But earlier, Jesus said, it is finished. If we accept what he did, his salvation, then we won't face judgment. Jesus died for our sins. He paid our price, so he's reconstructing us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things pass away, behold, all things become new. So we want to be reconstructed by the hand of the Lord. Now the third point, we are the clay. And Dan has a couple of verses about that.
Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God has ordained that we should walk in them. Philippians 1:6. Being confident that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
So the question is not about God. He has all the talent he wants. He made the world, he made us. We can't do much about circumstances. Maybe respond to them. God puts us in these things. Are we going to turn to him? Medically, years ago I had asthmatic problems. And I found out when I got an asthma attack, what did I do? Tense. It's like your foot hurts, so you kick it. So you got to relax and let God work in you. God knows what he's doing. We need to be pliable in the hands of the Lord. There have been times when I've wondered what I should do. Say, Lord, what would you have me do? What is God's will? When I was preparing to go into ministry, people said, Sam, you're going to be an evangelist. You'll never be a pastor because you talk too fast. Now, that's 68 years ago. The RPMs have slowed down some. But God is the one who worked in me. In fact, my wife and I both were missions majors in college, preparing to go to the mission field. My mission field has been Calvert County, Prince George's County, Frederick County, Carroll County. So God has a way of working in us what he wants us. We are his workmanship. Now it should be, when people see us, they see something of the work of Christ. We are called Christians because we're like Christ. We're doing, we used to have that, what would Jesus do? And so we want to follow the Lord. Philippians, Paul said, he which has begun will perform it. When God starts something, he finishes it. So he's still working on us. So it's not God's problem. The wheels, the problem is, what kind of clay are we? How mobile are we in God's hand? How flexible? Again, I like to do things a certain way. And sometimes God says, oh, I'm going to do it a different way. And so we have to be flexible in God's way. Now, we want to look at Jeremiah 18:12, and I think Dan has a verse there. When Jeremiah could finish with this, he said, can I do? God said to him, can I do this? What was their answer, Dan?
They said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of this evil heart.
God says, could I do that? And we say, no. You ever find children like that sometimes? No. I'm not going to do it. As I thought about this, in my growing up on the farm, and the Frank and Verne farmers, I don't ever recall a time when Dad said, feed the calves, water the chickens. I don't ever recall saying, I'm not going to do that. I saw what happened to the horses when he was going to go right and they wanted to go left. It did not work well. And a tree limb was not trimming the tree. It was trimming the horse or whatever needed to be done. So when Jeremiah talked to Israel and said, you've seen the northern kingdom go into judgment. They're in Assyria. They're scattered. In fact, they have never, ever come back to Israel. The southern tribe has, and that's what they're today. And they're coming back in various ways. But the northern kingdom, it was a horrible judgment. And the south is facing Babylon's beginning on the horizon. And they're serving Baal. They're serving idols. They're worshiping demons. And God says, can I work with you? Say, no. I just learned that that word was not something I ever said to my dad. Or in high school, or school, my 12 years in school. I don't remember us ever telling a teacher, I'm not going to do that. The principal, I'm not going to do that. Now, they put the fear of God in us. But you know what? We all graduated, became good citizens. I'm convinced all of my school principals today would be charged with child abuse. But they kept us in line, and we grew up to be respectable citizens. So the first is rejection. The second, though, is reception, Dan.
Romans 6:13. Yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Yield yourselves unto God. Now, I believe that the closing hymn is going to be, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Is that more than a song? Is that what's in our heart? Or saying, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. That's true of each of us. Are we obeying the Lord? Someday we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account. And I trust each of us will say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm clay in your hands. I will follow you, follow your leading. You form me as best you want. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks. We have the opportunity to yield to you. You know what's best for us. You know much more about us than we do. May we yield to you and do your will. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Is that our prayer for today or a mindset for the rest of our lives? We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for your word. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Help us, Lord, not only to lean on you, but to trust and believe your word, Lord, even in the midst of crisis. That you're still God and you're still holy. And we love you and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Be with each one of us as we leave and come back again, Lord, that you are always glorified in how we live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God from you, blessings flow, praise Him all.